Today's WBFO brief was recorded at around 8:30 in the morning. This is WBFO News.
Polls will be open until 9 o'clock tonight across Western New York for results and analysis of local, state, and national elections. We invite you to join WBFO and NPR for live coverage tonight. It all begins at 7. Buffalo detectives are working with New York State Police on the investigation into a Monday morning bomb threat that forced the evacuation of a downtown office. The early morning call sent the Buffalo Police canine to the offices of the State Department of Environmental Conservation at 700 Delaware Avenue. Authorities say they are, quote, assessing any potential connections to similar threats reported across the state. Police are investigating the early Monday morning crash that claimed the life of a thruway worker. The incident occurred just after 8 in the morning when a westbound vehicle on Interstate 90 near Silver Creek struck the maintenance worker who had stepped outside his vehicle. The westbound thruway was closed in the area for nearly 3 hours. No charges have been filed. According to Governor Kathy Hochul, this is the second fatality involving a thruway maintenance worker this year. A Canisius University graduate will be returning to Buffalo to lead a 50-year institution focused on the photographic arts. The Center for Exploratory and Perceptual Arts, or CEPA, has named Ben Hickey as its next executive director. Hickey brings 19 years of experience to his new position, including 7 years as curator at Hilliard Art Museum in Lafayette, Louisiana. He's also held positions at the California Museum of Photography and the Buffalo AKG Art Museum. New York State's Letitia James is among the bipartisan coalition of 50 attorneys general across the United States calling for a peaceful election and transfer of power. In a combined statement, the AGs called upon Americans to, quote, respect the integrity of the democratic process. Developer Douglas Jamal says his acquisition of an aging parking ramp will be key to his plans to transform a downtown neighborhood. The $3.1 million purchase of the Mohawk ramp, Jamal says, will allow for a mixed development featuring market rate and affordable apartments, restaurants, and a revamped parking facility.
We're excited to see progress, and we're moving in the right direction, and we're excited to get this development going. And the Mohawk ramp is an intricate part of the whole electric district and the Simon property.
Jamal's plans for an electric district would encompass much of Ellicott and Washington streets from near Genesee Street to Mohawk Street. While renovation work is already underway, Jamal says the neighborhood development will likely take years to complete. And don't forget to join WBFO and NPR for election night coverage. We begin at 7 with Ryan Zunner manning things. According to a recent report from the American Psychological Association, 77% of people surveyed say the future of our nation and the election are significant sources of stress. This week on the Disabilities Beat, Emily Watkins speaks with Kevin Smith from Mental Health Peer Connection about what resources exist.
We just try to help people acknowledge that even though there is a such thing as, I guess, a healthy level of participation that's beneficial to us, it's like you just said, science is showing that politics can and does negatively impact our physical and mental health.
Listen for the Disabilities Beat on Morning Edition and All Things Considered every Wednesday. You can also listen on demand at WBFO.org. Police in Toronto have made a big dent in an auto theft ring operating in Ontario. Nearly 60 suspects have been charged and more than 300 stolen vehicles recovered. And as Dan Karpinchuk reports, investigators also uncovered a scheme that involves some government employees registering phony vehicle identification numbers to legitimate license plates.
Police say 363 vehicles were recovered, worth about $14 million. The 59 suspects, rounded up, face a total of 300 charges for auto theft and what's called revinning. That's where Service Ontario employees are alleged to have used fake documents to register real Ontario license plates to fake VINs or vehicle identification numbers. Police also found a number of so-called chop shops in Toronto where stolen vehicles were taken to be dismantled and then shipped overseas. Toronto City Councillor Josh Matlow says despite the successes of law enforcement, more needs to be done.
One of the things we're asking the federal government for is to upgrade the standards and expectations working with both the auto and tech sectors to mitigate and try to prevent criminals from being able to not only steal cars in the first place, but then sell them on the black market.
Police say stolen vehicles were also recovered from shipping containers destined for overseas. One shipping container with stolen vehicles was found in Belgium. Ontario is also taking a tougher approach to auto theft. The government of Premier Doug Ford says it will introduce legislation that would create a new provincial offense for fraudulent vehicle registrations. That could lead to jail time and fines of up to $100,000. Police say their current investigation is ongoing and more charges are expected. For WBFO News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk in Toronto on the Canadian Beat.
Don't forget to like or subscribe so you can help others find this podcast. And if you love it, leave a review too. The WBFO Brief Podcast and the award-winning journalism of WBFO's news team are made possible by our members. Thank you for listening.